Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome to the Houston Innovators Podcast. I'm Natalie Harms, editor of Innovation Map. My guest for today is Juliana Gereiser, head of the Houston Incubator and vice president of innovation at Greentown Labs, an energy tech startup incubator. Juliana joins me today to discuss some of the recent goings-on at Greentown Houston, as well as what people can expect from the Greentown Climate Tech Summit in Houston on November 2nd. Hi, Juliana. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Natalie. It's always a pleasure.
I know you're no stranger to the podcast, but I'm excited to catch up on some of the exciting things you've been working on. So much to discuss. So just to start, and I know the Houston innovation community is very familiar with what you do and who you are, but tell us a little bit about the passion that encourages you and drives your, you know, motivation to work with innovators. Where does that passion come from?
Sure. So I started my career, it's been very global. So I actually started my career in Singapore. I'm from Spain. I started at the Spanish Trade Commission. I'm in this part of Spain that is very close to the French border. So I speak French since I was 3. There's always this international global citizenship about myself. You know, my dad used to backpack all over the world. So when I was selected to participate in this program with the Spanish embassy, I jumped at the occasion, and then I decided to stay longer in Singapore because I really liked it. It was very international, cosmopolitan, and I was hired by Citigroup for their technology office, and I was going all around the world with Citigroup to do credit card system migration. So I went to Latin America, Europe, ended up in Japan. And that's when I realized that, you know, I needed to have more impact. I felt like I was only a little piece of the whole Citigroup machinery, and I didn't feel I was having enough impact. I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do, but I wanted to figure it out. So I went and did a master's and MBA in London at London Business School because it was the most international, you know, school that I found. And that's when I gravitated towards entrepreneurship. I did the entrepreneurship major. I went for 3 months to Silicon Valley to do an exchange with Haas School of Business in Berkeley. I got in love with Silicon Valley and I decided, well, should I be an entrepreneur? And do I have a great idea to be an entrepreneur? Because that really seemed to be my passion. And I felt that the impact was so immediate when you work with entrepreneurs, right? Everything you add on can make a big change and a big like pivotal moment. And so I was like, well, I don't have a crazy brilliant idea, but you know what? I was hired to run an innovation center and their investment group, their angel group in the French Riviera. So that was like, well, if I can have the great idea to become an entrepreneur, I'll try to help them out by being an investor and running also programs for entrepreneurs through incubation. So that's how it happened. And, you know, it's been, so that was 2005. So it's been a while. I've been doing this first in Europe and internationally, and then here in Houston.
Yeah, I love this idea of recognizing your impact and wanting to grow your impact, because for a lot of people, it could be whether they have an idea for a company or whatever, but just this calling to increase an impact on innovation is very special. And I think that's what makes a good innovator support system. So now at Greentown Labs, I know it's been a while since you started your role, and it's also evolved a lot since you started. So tell us about your job now and how it's evolved to what you do today.
Sure. So I started as the launch director for Greentown Labs. So my main role when I started 2 years and a half ago was to fundraise to make Greentown Houston a reality, but also to figure out who our partners were going to be, try to recruit the initial members, the startups that were going to be at Greentown even before we had a building. And then, of course, when we opened, I couldn't be the launch director anymore because we had already launched. So that's when I became the head of the Houston incubator, but I also got a role as the VP of innovation in Greentown Labs as a whole. So that led me to be part of their executive team and to think about Greentown Labs' strategy as a whole. So not only for the campus in Houston, but what's going to happen to Greentown Labs next. And innovation, of course, is a very big box, or not even a box, right? Because you can't put innovation in a box. But it's about thinking what's next for Greentown in terms of areas of impact, and of course climate tech is very big, and it's not only about tech and what we can do with innovation. There's a lot of other things attached to it, and also in terms of geographical expansion. So we've been studying a few possibilities of expansion. It's pretty clear right now that if we want to have the highest impact, Houston is not going to be our last expansion. So I've been also working on that behind the scenes, and also my position is going to continue to evolve within that range of things. So I'll keep you posted. You will soon receive news also about how this is going to evolve too.
I think you said it best. There's a way to increase your impact, and that's physical and expanding to other parts. But specifically, the Houston location, how has it evolved since its opening? And I almost want to ask you, and I know this is kind of a silly question, and it's probably like day by day very different, but what's a normal day in the life for you, your role on Greentown? What are some of your like must regular kind of duties, I guess, on a daily or weekly basis?
Oh, so my regular duties fluctuate right between making sure that everything runs smoothly at the Houston incubator, representing the Houston Greentown Houston within the community, to also what's next for Greentown as a whole, right? So sometimes I'm being pulled in, executive team meetings or visits that I may have in Boston or some other places that we are exploring. So it's always a back and forth between Houston and I don't want to say Boston because now it's basically the executive team is between Houston and Boston. So it's more like the virtual headquarters and the Houston kind of hands-on activities. Of course, in Houston, there's a lot of visits, a lot of events, a lot of VIP showing up, people who want to partner. Our members require a lot of attention. I think that's one of the key differences in between Boston and Houston campuses. Our members are earlier on, so they need more help. They need more help in trying to find investors. In many cases, pilots are a very big thing. I would say there's a chicken and egg problem between, some investors would only invest in companies that have a well-established pilot. Sometimes for having a pilot, you need to have the right connections and some money. So we're trying to break that cycle. And we actually have created a pilot at Greentown Houston that is our pilot digest. So one of our most read publications for Greentown as a whole is what we call our deal flow digest for investors. More than 700 investors we have pre-vetted receive that publication on a monthly basis and then decide to have investor hours with our members. In the case for Houston, we also went ahead and created a pilot digest with listing the kind of pilots our members want to perform with their requirements, sometimes cost attached to it. Many of them are actually free. They also need a specific, setting to be able to test the technology and commercialize it. So to see if it works in a commercial setting.
That's so interesting. I think you've mentioned some of these digests to me before, and it's so unique and so important to your member companies that are trying to, find these connections and these opportunities for pilots or investments, and the ability for Greentown to kind of play matchmaker is really, I'm sure, pivotal to them. So speaking of some of these companies, I know it's are y'all at like max capacity at this point? Because there's just so many companies coming out of Greentown Lab. So what are some of the newer companies that have joined that you're excited about? Tell us a little about their technologies. I think that would be really interesting to hear some of the innovation happening within those walls at Greentown Labs.
Sure. So we are having right now 70 companies within Greentown. Okay. And we thought we could only fit in 50 at first, but of course, we thought the 50 would have the kind of size that the Boston companies have, and they are further along. So in our case, one company has like in average 1.2 people compared to the 2 point something people, you know, the Boston ones have. So we still have room for growth. Also, some of the companies are not there the whole time. And I think there's several reasons. I would say 65 to 70% of the companies are Houston-based, but there's many others that are in Austin, Dallas, North Carolina, you know, Memphis, even Portland, right? Because we are still the closest Greentown to them, right? Some of them are actually coming from Latin America, quite a few. A couple of the companies who just joined one came from Chile, the other one came from Uruguay. And at first, they started coming back and forth. Then, when they got some traction and some funding, they decided to finally put someone full time at Greentown Houston. And we're realizing that we're becoming the landing pad for many international companies or companies coming from other ecosystems like New York and Embucha Bio, a company that moved from New York to Houston to develop their technology here. So we are glad to be that you know, landing, soft landing pad for many companies that are looking at entering the US through Texas, because I think it's a very smart move, by the way. So we are doing a lot more. And I think the difference is also between Boston is a lot more space oriented because space is very scarce there. So people are competing for lab space, for wet lab space. And in Houston, there's a lot of space available. So I would say what's our secret sauce in Houston is more our community building, right? Our entrepreneurs are very early. They need a support system, not only with our connectivity services, but also with other peer entrepreneurs. And I think peer mentorship is key also at Greentown. We have our monthly CEO luncheons where the CEOs talk about, you know, what's keeping them up at night. And in many cases, many of these CEOs have already gone through that somehow. And sharing that is kind of critical. So in terms of cool companies that we have, right now we have one company called Lignium. Decided to move from Chile. And actually, it was through a mission put together by ProChile and Endeavor. They came to visit us and then they said, like, you know what, we would love to be here and expand to the US through Greentown Houston. So that company is called Lignium. Lignium is actually the material you get from processing cow manure. So they have this special plant in Chile that's already been proven that basically washes cow manure and gets with the lignin material, which is cellulose-based material that is used for pellets for biomass. Okay. So they decided to come to Houston and expand. And they are, if you go to our lab, you will see it at Climate Tech Summit. You will see how they're putting together their pilot on a trailer. So they're creating a mini plant to process the cow manure, and they're going to set it up at Texas A&M and see how it works there and get the data so that they can get it tested. Another company that is also coming from Latin America is called Boxes. The entrepreneur comes from Uruguay. They did Techstars first, and then they decided to stay in the US, coming back and forth. They have these special boxes that you're also going to see at Greentown because we are piloting them for two main uses. The first one is circularity. So you have refueling stations for smart packaging. The first use case is for detergent. So you can have a smart packaging with an RFID tag and you put it in the box and you get the kind of product you need to be refueled. And you can also select the quantity so that you don't have to pay for the packaging, but also if you don't want to fill it in to the top because you only need, I don't know how many milliliters, that's totally fine too. This company is on the Google Accelerator for Latinx startups, and the key why they were there, and they're also in SoftTech. SoftTech, they have their venture studio, so they're also part of that right now. The main reason why Google is behind is because of the data they capture, right? And actually, Boxes has another machine that is for sampling only, and Google is very interested in the data behind purchase decisions. And sometimes when you know the data gets to supermarkets and you know retail, they don't get access to that data. That's why these boxes are very important for them.
And with Boxes, what a great example of, you know, coming into Greentown and then like planting roots in Houston and then expanding to some of the other opportunities like SoftTech that
and
you mentioned.
Capital Factory too. Yeah. They are part of Capital Factory. So that's what we like at Greentown. We don't take any equity, so we don't compete with anybody. So the more help, you know, quite a few of our companies are also at the RISE Clean Energy Accelerator Program. Some of them have been at Mass Challenge, and you know, we're very happy with that because it really takes a village to help these companies.
It's like there are so many different entry points for Houston innovation, and Greentown is one of them. Some of these other programs are other ones, and then once a company's in one, they can bop right over to the other opportunities here in Houston. It's just so fun to see when you see that, because it is an ecosystem that we always use that word, but like when you actually think of that term as this like really collaborative space, I think it's fun to see it, I guess, working. You know, it's as simple as that.
Totally.
So you've mentioned the Climate Tech Summit. It's just around the corner. So what can people expect? How can they get involved with the event?
Yeah, so our event is a two-day event. It's going to be streamed. So, you know, I think the last streaming was seen by 2,500 people in 38 different countries. So that's why we want to keep the streaming portion of it, because we want to have the maximum outreach. And day one, November 2nd, is going to happen in Houston, and day two is going to happen in Boston, and both of them are going to be streamed. But also, if you are located in Houston or Boston, you can also come and see it for yourself as an in-person attendant. So if you go to our our website, you will see not only the agenda, but also how to get those tickets. And it's going to be very exciting. The main theme for this Climate Tech Summit is commercialization. So that's the overarching theme. And we're trying to explore it in different ways. Our champion sponsor is Capgemini. So we're going to have representatives of Capgemini both in Boston and in Houston doing their keynote speeches. But then we're going to have great panels on rapid commercialization and Houston and the energy transition. We're going to have a fireside chat with Jane Stricker from the Houston Energy Transition Initiative, talking about what's next. We still have some keynotes that are still being confirmed, but of course, our companies are going to be front and center. We're going to talk about great examples of commercialization with two of our biggest success stories in Houston. So Moji Karimi with Sanvita is going to be chatting with one representative of United Airlines and how that partnership happened. The same thing with Ben Jorat from Refterra and their partnership and investment with Equinor Ventures. So we're going to have representatives from both. You know, we're also going to be announcing a few things that, of course, if I told you, I would have to kill you. But basically, yes, we're keeping a surprise effect there. At the end of the program, we're going to be making a couple of announcements. So you'll have to stay tuned till the end. And I believe we also may have a wonderful MC at the Houston Climate Tech Summit, by the way.
Yes, for sure. You know how to get me with all of these teases for all of the upcoming things, which, if anyone is staying up to date with what's going on at Greentown, it's constant. There's, accelerators at both locations, virtual and other opportunities. So it's you gotta really stay on top of all the news at Greentown, and it's no easy feat because there's a lot,
It
especially
is not.
when you factor in all of the company's successes. I subscribe to the newsletter that rounds those up, and it's always so fun to see just all of the movement these companies are having, whether they're in Boston or Houston or somewhere else based in one of those two locations. But just to wrap up our conversation today, and what I'm sure is going to be a big part of the conversation at the Climate Tech Summit, but what are some of the challenges that energy tech companies and startups, and specifically ones based in Houston, are facing these days? How do you describe those types of hurdles that they're having to overcome to see success?
Sure. I think access to capital, as I mentioned, is kind of key in many areas, right? I think our companies are at very different stages, so the access to capital challenge looks very differently. For example, as I mentioned, quite a few of them are Latinx or from underrepresented founders, so that means that even you have the social capital or networking challenge, right? You don't even know how to fundraise because you are not even plugged in into the right network to fundraise. Also, sometimes you are not investment ready because you don't know how things work in the US. You come from another country. The communication skills might not yet be up to par. So there's a lot of things we need to do to help these kind of companies to get to, I would say, an equal opportunity from the ones that, are successful at raising. So we are very aware of that, and we're trying to make sure we give extra help to the companies that need it to become investment ready. And then what we're also trying to do is make sure that there's more capital available in Houston, right? So there's different ways. Of course, one of the reasons why it's great to have a one Greentown that is connected in Boston is because now a lot of the investor connection that we had in Boston and even globally through that first experience is now looking at companies from both campuses, right? So, and now with one of the things that COVID enabled is that a lot of investors are very comfortable with doing investor hours through Zoom and engaging with them earlier on by maybe video conference, and then maybe at some point coming to see them, but that's definitely helped. One of the things we're trying in Houston is to bring a lot of the capital that has been a lot later stage, and some of our founding partners are in the private equity space to earlier stages, and that's something that we've been successful at doing. Many of the private equity founding partners like White Deer Energy or SCF Partners, they did it because they funded our building because they thought it was the right thing to do for our ecosystem, but they thought our deals, our startups would be too early for them. It turns out that by just being there connected with them, they found opportunities they're comfortable with. So SCF Partners created the SCF Venture arm, and they invested in Revterra together with Equinor Ventures. White Deer Energy has, for the first time, invested in a Series A deal. So that's a very big deal for them and for us, right? They are feeling more and more comfortable in investing. Some of the corporate venture arms are also creating earlier stage funds. So I think we're helping with that visibility. We're also trying to make sure we do syndication events. So we put investors together. Saber Equity, one of our corporate partners, decided to put a round table in risk management and investing in Houston. So we're having more and more conversations. We're trying to rally investors together to syndicate, but also to get educated in climate tech investing that sometimes is different than energy and oil and gas, right? So what are the criteria to investing in this kind of companies compared to what you have been investing in the past? So really trying to make that and activate more investors to break that cycle. And also, I would say the pilot that I mentioned, this chicken and egg problem that we find specifically in Houston. So we created the pilot digest, but we're also trying to, and everybody got a lot of great feedback about the pilot digest. This is one of the best documents I've seen. So there were a lot of accolades, but still, when we check about results, we haven't had yet a lot of traction with people who raise their hand and say, like, yes, I want to do a pilot with this company that I've seen with Pilot Digest. And I think it's because maybe they're the people we talk to in terms of our corporate partners at Green Town Labs are not the same, right? We in general talk to the ventures team, the innovation team. To get a pilot, we need to get with the engineers who are running a plant, or you know, so that's what we were discussing our latest Houston Advisory Board meeting. It's like, okay, who are the points of contact that we need to talk to make a pilot happen at your company? It looks like they're different counterparts, so can we bring them to the table? And also, how can we make sure that the city of Houston in general, and I'm not talking only about the city, but the campus at Rice, the Innovation District, the Ion District, we embrace those pilots more, right? Because as I mentioned, some of them don't even require costs. It's just we need to test the technology and make sure it works. So for, I think for us, if we want to be seen as the energy transition capital of the world, it's not only about us mentioning it, like, you know, we have the capital, we have the assets, we have the workforce. It's also being seen as taking risk and seeing new technologies, seeing getting tested, right? So for us, it's we want to put our next pilot at our outdoor lab at the parking where CLS Wind is going to test their new turbine. The turbine is going to be there, which is important for them, but it's also important to for us to be seen as testing those technologies within the ecosystem and that everybody sees that we're also taking risks.
Yeah, it's such a real challenge, I think, for that pilot program conversation and shortening that timeline. Because I feel like for some of these really industrial technology companies, like it takes years to get on that level with their corporate partners. Like it takes a long time to really get on the radar. And yeah, sometimes it's that like talking to the wrong people within the company. You've got to like find the right decision makers within a big corporation, and that's hard. But then it's also just like, you know, maintaining that relationship until the opportunity comes up. And I think it's really great to have a different access point via Greentown Labs and their partners. So hopefully that is something that, you know, y'all can really develop and find the secret sauce and then tell everyone else because your industry.
So we have kind of found the secret
Yeah.
sauce, you know, because the GO programs we have are about that, right? We have these corporate acceleration programs where with some of our partners, we have evolved the conversation so much and we have the right points of contact and they have decided to outsource their innovation through us, right? Instead of generating it internally or looking for it themselves, they say like, hey, you know what's out there. Let's put together a challenge. And it could be marine life detection for offshore winds or anything that can be very narrow. And instead of trying to figure out how to put this software or this hardware, let's go and find it together globally, right? And that's what we do. We put an RFP together, we find it together, we spend 6 to 8 months with them. In general, it involves a pilot. And it's much easier to find what's already there in this area and tweak it to make it work for them than having a normal acceleration program that in general has 20 solutions looking desperately for problems, right? So the GO is the example, but of course, GO programs only have from 6 to 8 companies. And in Houston, we have at least 30 that are looking for pilots. So, and the GO is dictated by the corporate needs. And in many cases, you know, these pilots are dictated by what our startups need to like hit a milestone. So I think there's a lot to be learned there, definitely. We're also trying to fill gaps, right? So when we see that there's no solution there, we try to create it ourselves. And with funding and pilots, there's some companies that still need funding for pilots or for this first contract to deliver on the first contract, or they might have a grant or a first contract, but they still need working capital. So we have partnered with LACI, Los Angeles Cleantech Incubator, and their debt fund. They have a debt fund, and basically they need to deploy, I think it's 2 million within 2 years. And so you have debt available for our companies, and the first company, Greentown Company, was able to get this money. It's 100K in debt, or 150K for working capital as a maximum per company. But that is key, because a lot of our companies are very cash strained, and having this kind of instruments there are critical for them, and they make a huge impact. So we're trying to figure out how to make more of those, or partner more to get more debt or equity to our companies.
That makes perfect sense. And I'm sure all of this plus more, and getting to peek inside Greentown Labs and also learn more about some of the companies housed out of there, all can be discussed at the upcoming event. So everyone should go sign up to either watch that streaming or attend in person if you can on November 2nd. So thank you, Juliana, for joining me today, for talking through all of these things you're up to and the event itself and what people can expect. So thank you again for your time.
Thank you, and looking forward to seeing you all at Climate Tech Summit.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Houston Innovators Podcast. Don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss next week's edition, and check out innovationmap.com for the latest Houston startup and innovation news.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.